Welcome to this special episode of Royally Screwed. My name is Chris Shearer, and usually I would be talking about some of the best, worst, and most bizarre rulers throughout history. Today, we're not doing that. Instead, we're going to talk about why the conceit of this show was flawed from the very beginning. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about the Great Man Theory. Specifically, I'm going to talk about what the Great Man Theory is, and then talk about why that's a bad way to look at history. At its very basic premise, the Great Man Theory says that history can just be studied as the cumulative actions of strong individual rulers. I actually briefly talked about the theory way back in my episode over Suleiman the Magnificent. You probably didn't listen to it, don't worry. DBH, that's probably the episode of this podcast I'm least proud of, but that's not what this is about right now. More or less, it's about looking at history on a very microscopic level of individuals, such as monarchs, military leaders, religious leaders, famous writers, and philosophers. The other way of looking at history is from a larger civilization point of view, such as the entire history of the Han Dynasty culture or the rise and fall of the Aztec civilization. Obviously, every theory has its critics, so I'll gladly share some of the valid criticisms of this theory as well. And make sure you stick around till the end of the episode for a major announcement. So sit back and take a load off for this installment of Royally Special, The Problem with Royally Screwed. The Great Man Theory mostly comes from the writings of a Scottish historian named Thomas Carlyle. In 1840, Carlyle gave a series of lectures on history as viewed through the lens of heroism. These lectures would later be compiled into the book On Heroes, Hero Worship, and the Heroic in History. According to Carlyle, history was just a series of jumping blocks from one influential man to another. You could look at history in the scope of the deeds of Gilgamesh in prehistory up to, at least when Carlyle lived, the presidency of Martin Van Buren, stopping along the way at people like Julius Caesar, Muhammad, Charlemagne, Richard the Lionheart, Shakespeare, and Napoleon, just to name a few guys who would fit Carlyle's theory. Carlyle posited that these men were born with the capacity for great deeds. They were born when the world needed them most, almost like some sort of messianic prophecy being fulfilled. Each unique individual's worldview is what allows history to propel forward. This is what allows us to say things like, it was thanks to Emperor Claudius that Rome conquered Britain, or Peter the Great's ideas built St. Petersburg, or even Alexander the Great conquered most of the known world. Without these individuals to lead with their specific ideals, great moments in history, which in turn lead to the rest of history playing out, would never have happened. It doesn't matter how many Greek hoplites equal one Alexander the Great, or how many scientists it would take to come up with the theories of Albert Einstein. The fact of the matter is that they themselves did it, and it was because they were born with almost a destiny to become the men we know them to be. The Great Man Theory would go on to influence history for much of the rest of the 19th century and early 20th century. The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche would even write, "The goal of humanity lies in its highest specimens." His ideas of the Übermensch, a sort of Superman, but not that Superman, pictured a type of human that was above others. Granted, this idea would be bastardized by the Nazis to theorize a master race. It should also be noted that Nietzsche would later go on to criticize this theory in his later works. The Great Man Theory at play can also be seen in the Encyclopedia Britannica's 11th edition, published in 1911. This edition provided countless lengthy biographies about famous historical figures without thinking to write as much about broader historical topics. Thomas Carlyle would also argue that it was imperative of humanity to study the history of these heroes because it would help each individual discover the possibility of the hero that dwells within their own soul. We can even see this kind of play out in history itself. The founding fathers of America looked to the Roman emperors to visualize greatness. The early emperors remembered Julius Caesar as their progenitor. Julius Caesar cried himself to sleep, wishing to be as important as Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great himself was inspired by Achilles, a legitimate hero from Greek legend. Again, we see a direct through line of heroic worship creating great historical figures. So, like, it all makes sense, right? After all, don't we call Renaissance England the Elizabethan era, and the latter half of the 1800s Victorian? These are terms named after the powerful ruler of England at the time. We don't think about the long, drawn-out ending to the Cold War. We remember Ronald Reagan specifically calling out Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down the Berlin Wall. History has always been remembered as key moments led by the strong ruler. But should it be? Obviously, there's a lot to criticize about the great man theory. Billions of humans have lived and died on this planet since we formed civilization thousands and thousands of years ago. We evolved as a social species. One cannot exist without the help of others. It's why your brain starts to go fuzzy when you stay alone for too long. We crave connection to others. Humans together create the world around us. Oh, we shouldn't ask how many scientists could create an Einstein. Would Einstein have come up with his theories if people since the dawn of time hadn't looked at the world and wondered how it worked? Could Alexander the Great conquer the Persian Empire just on his own? No, he needed that massive army, with each individual person pulling their own weight. Viewing history through the lens of the individual lessens the abilities of every other person. The theory insists on some sort of nature over nurture approach to history. Like I said, Carlyle believed that history's heroes were almost born with heroic destiny. This completely forgets the fact that people are heavily influenced by their surroundings. Most great kings throughout history were already born into nobility. They already had a leg up in order to influence the world around them. It wasn't due to some sort of innate sense of their being. Someone's worldview is usually heavily influenced by the culture they grow up in, the place, the time, and the general social norms of the region. Would Muhammad have been the founder of Islam if his family was Jewish? Would Abraham Lincoln be the same if he instead became a senator in a southern state like Georgia? Would Minamoto no Yoritomo still become the first shogun if he had been born 200 years earlier? Rome was a war machine by nature, so it makes sense that it would eventually pump out someone like Julius Caesar. If he had been born at the exact same time but to a family in Japan, would he have been the same? Okay, that maybe is a big leap, but still. There's a reason why, despite this podcast focusing on individual figures, I always begin with a background explaining the larger world in which that person lived. How did their culture come about? What major events happened at/before the time of their birth? I know sometimes it doesn't work as well as others, but I want you, the listener, to be able to have a full understanding of why a chosen figure is the way that they were. What helped this person decide upon the actions they did? Was it a history of their people's oppression? A history of militarized existence? Or was it due to the views of their own parents? I used to think a view of history like the great man theory was acceptable. It was better than being forced to memorize dates like most people are in school. But I've come to gather a greater appreciation for other historical topics than just the individual. A single person can be great, some are even called the great. But history is also about how the regular people lived. We may not know a super ancient culture's leaders, but their pottery and statues still survive. Historical settlements, at least in the US, usually have some sort of living museum that teaches us in the modern era how the people of the day lived. What kinds of beds did they sleep on? What did they eat? What did kids do for fun? I think that's a kind of history we should be taught as well. And yet I chose to do a podcast about individuals. A version of history that I'm slowly beginning to come to realize is flawed. That is the problem with Royally Screwed. And if I've convinced you to be against the great man theory, maybe you also think this podcast was a flawed concept from the very start. Please still listen though, I will be hypocritical about that. Well, that was a weird note to end on, right? And with that weird energy, I'm here to make a major announcement. This podcast is going to be coming to an end. For the most part. Let me explain this properly. The very beginnings of this show were back in, like, 2019 maybe. I knew how to record and edit audio and also really wanted to share my love of history. When COVID hit in 2020, I needed a way to occupy my time. I lived alone in an apartment and needed to do things other than play Animal Crossing. So I went back to a couple brief scripts I had written for this podcast and started working on more. This became my thing to do. I would make a podcast. As I released more and more episodes, this became something I was really proud of. I had never really shared something I had made before with the masses, and the schedule I was keeping myself on ensured that I kept it up. Unfortunately, life continued on. We said the pandemic ended, and I began to get back into things I had been doing before. Like I said, when I started the show, I lived alone in an apartment, so I had a lot of free time. Well, now I've moved in with my partner and have a lot of other things to do in life. And this show takes up way too much of my free time, and it's still a one-man operation. To be honest, I first thought about ending this show around episode 60 or so. This was always a labor of love, and I was beginning to not feel much return on the show I was making. But a few episodes later, I decided to keep up with it until episode 100. 100 is a good round number. So that's what I'm gonna do. When the show finally returns from break, I'm gonna do 10 more regularly scheduled episodes over historical figures I really want to cover in order to make the workload easier on myself. And after episode 100? Well, here's the funny thing. Because even though I want the show to kinda end, I also don't. So that's why I said the show is mostly coming to an end. Episode 100 will be the very last regularly scheduled episode. Afterwards, I'll still make episodes, just much, much less frequently. There might only end up being 2 or 3 episodes made per year. That way, you still get a show, I get to spread my love of history, and I also get to live my life. But in the meantime, you still get a bit more of the show. In a week or so, you'll also be getting a special holiday episode. Then you get the remaining 10 episodes, as well as the usual April Fool's episode. So yes, even when I fully planned out the regular show's ending, I'm very much giving myself too much work. But here now, at the end of this special, I just want to thank you all for listening. Whether this is somehow your first episode, weird choice by the way, or you've been along the ride for a few years, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for letting me share history with you. And a special shout out to the random person from Belgium who was the first international listener of the podcast. You really helped me push forward when I was doubting myself in the early days. I hope you'll enjoy this final stretch of the normal show. But that's it for this episode of Royally Special. Be sure to subscribe to the show and tell a friend all about it. Stay tuned in the next week and a half or so for that holiday special I talked about. I hope you'll join me then for another topsy-turvy look into history's most interesting rulers.